Hello and welcome to the ABCs of Rock podcast. I am your host, Nathan Schuer. The ABCs of Rock is proudly part of the Westin Media Podcast Network. I thank you for tuning into this podcast each and every week. Throughout the season, I'll be progressing my way through the alphabet from A to Z, where I'll be featuring bands or musicians going in alphabetical order. It's not only been a blast, it's also been an education, and I'm having the time of my life. Before I begin, I must say a couple very important words about this podcast. I do not own the rights to any of the music played on the show. The musicians or the music labels own the copyright. I play this music under the doctrine of fair use. I am not here as a DJ, but to offer music commentary and criticism. My goal is for you to gain a larger appreciation for the bands or the musicians played here in this podcast. And I can't emphasize this enough. Please go out and legally purchase or stream their music. The musicians need your support. My only goal is that I hope this show contributes to spreading the good word about the bands you hear on these episodes. I do not profit in any way from this podcast. It is truly done out of my pure love of the music. So, I'm back, and it's time for season two. And I'm calling it season two because it's time to reboot the alphabet. I did 52 episodes, I think, in season one, and I'm calling it season one because it took about a year to do it, and it was so much fun, and I learned a lot about music. It was my first time ever podcasting, and I took a little bit of a break. It was about a month I took off, and I think by the time this airs, it'll be around the beginning of May. I couldn't stay away. The moment the last show ended, all I could think about was how soon can I begin the next season? And here I am. So there are going to be a few format changes going into this season. I'm still going to be doing the types of shows where I feature a band or artist and where I highlight my 10 favorite songs of theirs. And it's always going to be their more underrated music. I do not play their hits, their singles. I want to feature the underrated songs, the ones that fell underneath the radar. So that's what I want to do. I am a champion for the music that gets forgotten by these bands. But in addition to that, I'm going to be doing some other special episodes. Sometimes I will be featuring some of my favorite genres of music. Other times will be countdown lists where I do my favorite, I can't even describe it. It's just going to be a variety of music in all different capacities. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a little different from last year. And I'm probably going to not do what I was calling the emptying the vault, which I admit was kind of an arbitrary way of just playing different kinds of music. There was no rhyme or reason to those shows. It was just, you know, a way for me to just, you know, play the music that I loved. And there's nothing wrong with that, but I want to deliver more themed shows this season. So I'm excited about that. I will still occasionally be bringing in my favorite co-host, Chloe, who is really excited to do more episodes this season. That's all she's been talking about. When are we going to do more episodes? When are we going to do more episodes, Dad? So I think at some point she will be back with me and giving her commentary on the music again. So this week, I'm going to be doing something that I wish I'd probably done in the beginning of the year. I am going to be going through my top 20 albums of 2020. And of course, I'm going to break it up into two episodes because I only do 10 songs in each on each show. On this episode, going to be doing albums 20 through 11, and then on the next episode, my top 10, 10 through number 1. So this should be a really fun list, and you know, if you've been a fan of the show, you already know what my taste in music is. So there's going to be, you know, a good chunk of these are going to be a lot of legacy acts. You know what I like. But, you know, I do have a little bit of indie cred, so you're going to hear maybe a couple bands that you're not that familiar with, which I've been a fan of. So, you know, I think you might have some surprises here, maybe some music that you weren't familiar with from some bands you didn't know about. So that's cool. I think if I can turn a few people on to some new music, you know, that makes me really happy. So let's get right into it. So coming in at number 20 is Green Day. And, you know, they've been coined the godfathers of pop punk, I guess you could say. Although this album, titled Father of All, is kind of a little bit of a step away from pop punk, I think. And it's leaning in more towards alt rock. It still has their candy-coated guitars, and they have a lot of pop sensibilities, which really come forward in this album. It's actually the shortest studio album of their career. It's only 26 minutes long. It's really a short album. I personally think it's a little bit of a step down from their 2016 release, Revolution Radio, which I really did like a lot. And I think it's one of their better albums, and it's probably my favorite since American Idiot. That must have been like 2004, which is crazy to think that that was now 17 years ago, that album. The song I'm picking from this to represent it is I Was a Teenage Teenager. It's a really cool song. It's, like I said, it's got those candy-coated guitars. It's actually the longest song on the album. It's about 3 minutes and 45 seconds long, I think. It's one of the longest songs by almost a whole minute. So it's a really short and tight album. Really cool song. So let's check it out.
I was 13.
All right. So at number 19 is guitar slinger Joe Satriani and his album titled Shapeshifting. Now, Shapeshifting came out on April 10th of last year. It was produced by Joe Satriani and Jim Scott. Of course, it is a wonderful instrumental hard rock, blues rock album. I just really love the texture and tone that he gets out of his Ibanez. He is one of the most gifted guitar players ever in the last, 30, 40 years. The song that I'm picking is Spirits, Ghosts, and Outlaws. The song is darkly brooding. It is a wonderful song. It's a great representation of this album. Turn this one up. Up next at number 18 is one of the legacy acts I was referring to, and it's Deep Purple and their 21st studio album titled Whoosh, with a little exclamation point at the end of that. It came out on August 7th of last year. It was produced by Bob Ezrin. It was the third in a row with him. This album, it's actually my favorite of theirs in quite some time. Maybe their best since 96's Perpendicular. Deep Purple still got a lot of their original members still kicking it with the band. It's obviously still got Ian Gillan on vocals, of course. Roger Glover is one of the greatest rock bassists of all time. And it's very underrated. He's not mentioned as when you think of the great bassists of rock history. And his name isn't mentioned that much. I don't know why. Ian Paice on drums, of course. It's got Stephen Morse on guitars, who has to fill the shoes of a long line of historically amazing lead guitarists for Deep Purple. He does a great job. And on keyboards, Don Airey, who, you know, is no John Lord, but who is. But this song does feature his talents. So we're going to listen to the song Throw My Bones. And it does feature a great performance from Don Airey. So here we go. Next, number 17, and this is a great transition from the last band, is The Spaceman, Ace Frehley. And his album that came out on September 18th of last year, and it's titled Origins Volume 2. Now, this is his second covers album in the last 4 years. I like this pretty well. I actually like it a little more than his last covers album called Origins Volume 1, which came out in 2016. Although I do wish, you know, he'd stick with his original albums, you know, which he still does. It seems like lately he's going back and forth. I do find his covers to be a little too conventional, a little too gimmicky. Song I'm picking, though, is Space Truckin'. Of course, it is a Deep Purple classic. It's one of my favorites from them, from their classic era. This version features Rob Sabino on keyboards. where the original featured John Lord, of course. We just talked about him not that long ago. Rob Sabino is a journeyman session keyboardist and songwriter. One other thing I want to mention about this song, there actually is a pretty cool animated music video that you can check out if you go to YouTube. It's a pretty neat accompaniment to this song. So let's listen to Ace Frehley's cover version of Space Truckin'.
Well,
All right. So moving on to number 16. And at number 16 is The Pretenders and their release titled Hate for Sale, which came out on July 17th of last year. It was produced by Steven Street, who's known for his 90s work with bands like The Cranberries and Blur. And you can hear those production tendencies with this album a little bit. This is their 11th studio album. It's a really solid rock album. It's full of attitude, which is something they sometimes waver on their albums. Recently, I'd say in the last 20 years or so, the Pretenders albums kind of go back and forth with their track listing with rock songs and some ballads. I've never really been huge into the Pretenders ballads. I just wish that Chrissy would just rock out a lot more often in her albums. The songs were co-written by Chrissy and her new guitarist, James Walborn. James is also half of the band The Rails, which is actually a really good indie rock band unto themselves that I do recommend checking out. This, overall, though, is a solid all-around album, and it's my favorite of theirs in quite some time. The song I'm selecting off this one is Didn't Want to Be This Lonely. Before I move on, I just want to take a brief moment since we're about at the halfway point through the episode and this list, and thank you once again for tuning into the show and say how much I appreciate each and every one of you for being a loyal listener or a subscriber to this podcast. As of now, there's about 50 plus episodes in the archives, which is right there, ripe for the listening. So go over there and check that out. There's practically something for everybody if you're into rock music. So please subscribe to the podcast, no matter what your preferred podcast app is. If you use iTunes, Spotify, I don't know, anything. It's pretty much available anywhere you can find podcasts. So go ahead and check that out. And there's also an email that I check frequently, abcofrockpodcast@gmail.com. And of course, you can find me on social media, on Facebook at ABC of Rock Podcast and on Twitter at ABC Rock Podcast. This show is available on, like I said, on dozens of podcast apps. So please, if you love the show, subscribe and actually give a rating and review on whatever app you prefer. Those ratings and reviews actually play a large role with the algorithms that help raise the profile of the show and make it more discoverable for a larger audience. So I thank you all in advance. All right, moving on to number 15. And we have The Strokes. Yeah, remember The Strokes? Yep, they came out with a new album back on April 10th of 2020. It was produced by Rick Rubin. This was their sixth studio album, and it was a long hiatus for them. The first album since 2013. It was 7 years they took a break. It's not that they weren't making music. Actually, lead singer Julian Casablancas was pretty busy with a side project, The Voids, which actually has some, they have a couple albums which are actually pretty good. There's Tyranny, which came out in 2014, and Virtue, which came out in 2018. I've actually listened to both those albums. They're really good. I really hope it's just not that long. We don't have to wait the same amount of time for the next Strokes album. One of my favorite bands, they made it big, obviously, in the early 2000s when they were riding the wave of the garage rock revival movement. Them and the Hives and the White Stripes, they were all kind of clustered together back then. I think the Strokes were probably right behind the White Stripes in as my favorite bands at the time in that genre, I guess I should say. This album is full of homages to the 1980s, especially this song that I'm going to play. This is called Eternal Summer. And let me know if you can hear the song that they are referencing in the chorus. And the clue, well, I'll say, you're not going to hear it in this episode, but you're going to hear the song, the band, I should say, that they are referencing in the next episode coming up next week, I should say, because they came out with a new album for the first time in 27 years. Maybe that's a little too obscure, but I love the song. All right. Did everyone hear that little homage to a certain 80s band in that song? I did. I love that song. And again, next week, the song that they were referencing, that particular band, we're going to hear a new song from them. Anyways, so number 14 is Blue Oyster Cult. And they came out with a new album. Can you believe it? Their 15th studio album titled The Symbol Remains. This was their first studio release in 19 years. The first since 2001's The Curse of the Hidden Mirror, which actually is a really good album. The band still has longtime members Buck Dharma and Eric Bloom. Sadly, in 2013, they lost original keyboardist Alan Lanier. Sometime last year, I actually did a new release spotlight on this album. So I did like this when it came out. Good enough, obviously, to be at number 14. New guitarist Richie Castellano has really inserted himself with this band. And he's actually been with the band actually for 16 years, but this is the first time he's gotten a chance to flex his muscles as a songwriter, where he contributed to 7 songs. So the song I'm selecting is called Stand and Fight. This is a really, really wonderful, ferocious, slow-churning slice of power metal. So if you love Blue Oyster Cult, and I certainly do, then this is going to be right up your alley.
Call to arms, it's you and I. Stand and fight.
next at number 13 is Sir Paul McCartney with his album simply titled McCartney 3, which came out on December 18th. This is his 18th studio album, and this is another one of his albums that he pretty much played every instrument on it, which is why this is considered, I suppose, the third album in a trilogy, which is a sequel to McCartney 2, which came out in 1980, and of course, McCartney from 1970. And of course, this one coming now 40 years after his last one. This was a true lockdown pandemic album. He recorded everything, I believe, last March and April. Every time there is a new McCartney album, you know, I think it's a gift. Because, you know, how much longer is he going to be putting out new music? And the industry has so much respect for him. I remember reading an article that Taylor Swift actually moved the release date for her album because she realized that Paul McCartney already had a release date on this particular day. So obviously, you know, Taylor Swift, who probably can sell probably more albums than Paul McCartney can at this stage of both their careers, she still moved her release date, you know, out of respect. So I think that's pretty cool. Anyways, this album, I think it's just beautiful. And the song I'm picking called The Kiss of Venus is my favorite song on here. I think the song is beautiful. It feels like it could just be so neatly nestled somewhere on side two of the White Album. The whole album, though, is a very raw and rootsy sounding album, as you'd expect. So it's beautiful. Let's check it out. This is The Kiss of Venus. Moving on to number 12, and we have the Night Flight Orchestra and their fifth studio album titled Aromantic, which came out on February 28th of last year. This Swedish hard rock band has their feet firmly planted in the late 70s and early 80s sounds of bands like Toto, Asia, Boston, Journey, mixed with classic era bands like rock bands like Led Zeppelin or Kiss or Sweet. They wear their influences right on their sleeves, as you're going to hear. Their music is always anthemic and powerful. All I can say is this band just holds a special place in my heart. It's like mainlining the 80s directly into your veins. So if you don't love this, you're listening to the wrong podcast. So the song I'm picking off this album is titled If Tonight Is Our Only Chance. Got one more song before we wrap it up. And at number 11, we have X. Yep, just X. And their eighth studio album, their first in 27 years, the first since 1993's Jesus, which came out on April 22nd last year. This Los Angeles punk rock group is, it's been doing it since back in, I think, the late 70s, early 80s. One of the great punk rock bands of all time. If you want to get into X, I would suggest that you definitely check out the early stuff, especially the first two albums, Los Angeles and Wild Gift, is where everyone should start. Those came out, I think, in 1980 or 1981. The original lineup has actually been touring heavily over the last 20 years, and they're all still involved in the creation of this new record. They still sound great. They haven't lost their edge. They've never really been what I'd say is a hardcore punk band. They've always had a lot of pop sensibilities to their albums, and this record really leans heavily into that. It's very enjoyable, so I think everyone's going to love this. This is off their new album titled Alphabet Land, and this is the self-titled track, Alphabet Land. Hope you enjoy this one. And there you have it. That is numbers 20 through 11 of my top 20 albums of 2020. And next episode, next week, we will be doing the top 10 of 2020. And again, I know this is probably something I could have done 4 or 5 months ago. I didn't get around to it. I was busy doing the other types of shows, I guess, back then. But like I said, it's a new season, new format. We're going to be doing a lot more fun episodes like this. Still going to be doing the bands, the featured bands that I was doing like last season. But it's going to be a lot of fun this season. And I can't wait to do many, many more episodes. So I hope you've enjoyed this show. You can send your feedback or hate mail to abcofrockpodcast@gmail.com. Thank you so much for taking this journey with me. And please don't hesitate to reach out to me on social media, on Facebook at ABC of Rock Podcast or on Twitter at ABC Rock Podcast. I love getting feedback and messages letting me know what you think of the show. It's been an absolute pleasure to be here as your host and entertainer over the past hour. I realize that there are literally tens of thousands of podcasts out there you could be listening to. And I sincerely thank you for spending your time with me on this show. It means the world to me. The ABCs of Rock is part of the Western Media Podcast Network. Thank you again and have a great week, everyone.